Draft Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Cannon, alongside Dalton Miller. We both have our coffees. It is 4:45 a.m. for Dalton, and it is 11:45 p.m. for Corey as we record this podcast. Grading out the AFC West. This is going to round up the AFC grades for us. We've done the North, South, and East so far, so we'll hit the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders today. Again, just some housekeeping things going up on the Substack today as well as you're listening to this podcast. I did an entire film breakdown on Fernando Mendoza versus NC State. I did a live charting where I was basically just like rambling off, this is accurate, this isn't, but also stopping and breaking down some plays of some cool stuff that I saw along the way as well. So it's a 38-minute video for paid subscribers. If you're not a paid subscriber, then become a paid subscriber and watch the video. So that's pretty cool. But before we get too much further into this, Dalton, welcome. Well,
yeah, I just wanted to point out that that's something that you guys should definitely go and watch so you get a feel for how Corey sees each one of these plays, because it's incredibly important context to see exactly what he is seeing when he is breaking down whether a pass is deemed accurate or not, because it is a completely subjective framing overall when it comes to that. So like something that you might deem to be an accurate ball, Corey might feel a little bit differently about, or vice versa. And I think in the end, usually it's just going to kind of balance out a little bit, or Corey's going to be on the higher end of accuracy and you're going to be on the lower, or like just depending on how you grade things. And so at the end of the day, yes, you have to look at the numbers, you have to look at the accuracy numbers, but then you have to also see what the trend is with all of these guys, like what is deemed accurate, what is not. A little bit of housekeeping on my end. I have added my elevated tier, which will have a bunch of resources. This is on my Patreon, which will have a bunch of resources like playbooks, clinics, and things of that nature, but also individual player breakdowns. And I will be taking requests on individual player cutups. So, you know, I have every Drew Aller drop back right now. I'm getting done with Cade Klubnik drop backs from last year as well. I will do carries. I will do sacks, pressures, things of that nature for guys. It's a lot of work for me, so it is more expensive. But I also have upgraded the price on my actual tier because your boy is running out of Google storage and that ain't cheap. So we went from $5 to $10 on the tier one sub, but I'm pretty sure nobody has more college all 22 to offer the general masses than your boy. So check that out on my Patreon.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. We're doing some cool stuff. Doing some cool stuff. This is going to sound really, sidetracky, and it is, but I have a work conference all week, well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, and I spent most of my time in breakout sessions today mapping out what I want Daft on Draft's content to look like and what I want the Daft on Draft ecosystem and how I want it to flow and some stuff like that. So doing a lot to try to get this thing as I dream it to be, and Dalton the same way with his. But enough housekeeping stuff, let's dive in and talk about the AFC West here. So again, we've got the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Broncos and the Chargers, and again, using the same NFL draft grade GPA cumulative sheet that we've been using that rounds up all of the expert grades. It fared out well for the Chiefs and the Raiders, but not so much for the Broncos and the Chargers.
Yeah, which, I mean, we thought was kind of interesting at first. I mean, looking over these, I don't hate. And that's the thing that I think we need to talk about is like these grades overall outside of like the Bengals, the Saints, Vikings, Lions, like a lot of these grades aren't very bad. Like a 2.8 GPA, a 2.82 GPA, it isn't bad for the Chargers or the Broncos. And outside of the Thor giving the Chargers an F for their grade. I don't think there was a single like D grade between the two of them. And so it's really just like, they did kind of average overall. And when you look at what the Broncos did, they had 7 picks, which isn't terrible, but it's not a ton of draft capital. And they were picking at number 20 in the first round anyways. And so we have to take that into account as well with this. I think when you look at the Chargers, they had a couple more picks, but not a ton of top 100 stuff. And when we go through and we grade these, a lot of these people are grading it off of how many like top 100 guys were you able to acquire throughout all of this? And I thought that they did a pretty good job overall, the Chargers. But
I like the Chargers draft too.
The media just kind of fell a little bit lower on it, and that's partially probably because they drafted a running back in round one that wasn't Ashton JT, because JT went to the Raiders at 6. So we'll get into it all. Let's get into it all because we're already 6 minutes in. Let's go.
Yep. Let's talk about first the Denver Broncos. Also, 3 of 4 of these teams drafted a running back in the first 2 rounds. But let's start with the Denver Broncos, who received the lowest draft grade of all of these teams cumulatively by experts. Again, round one, Jahdae Barron, cornerback out of Texas. Round two, 60th overall, RJ Harvey, running back at UCF. Round three, Pat Bryant, wide receiver, Illinois, and Savion Jones, edge, LSU. Round four, Q Robinson, edge, Alabama. Round six, Jeremy Crawshaw, punter from Florida. And round seven, tight end Caleb Lohner from Utah. I'm going to be honest. I think that draft grades are pretty spot on with this one. I don't love the day two haul at all for the Broncos here.
Neither do I. I understand the Savion Jones pick, that type of kind of hybrid pass rusher interior guy, but like more just, I think a 4-5 tech, you know, run defender. I don't think that was a bad selection, and it's kind of what they like to do defensively with their guys anyways. They like those kind of, for lack of a better term, tweeners to play the edge on odd fronts.
Pat Zach Bryant, Allen, John Frankenmyers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pat Bryant is a fine player. I don't mind him in round three. I don't like RJ Harvey. I know a lot of people do, and I think I feel better about him in Denver simply because of Sean Payton. And I believe in my heart of hearts that Sean Payton, when it comes to these kind of gadget running backs or wide receivers, is going to be able to figure out creative ways to get him the ball. And that's what you need to do with RJ Harvey. RJ Harvey is not a real running back, in my opinion. Like, I don't think he's a good running back, but it might not matter because of Sean Payton. And because at the end of the day, Harvey is going to be a really dangerous return man, and he's going to be dangerous with the ball in his hands, which is what Sean Payton's able to do with those kind of guys. So he's not going to be a feature back. He's not going to have to be a feature back. And so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah. Again, the rumor was that they were steadfast after Travion Henderson, and the only reason they didn't take Henderson is because they didn't think Barron was going to make it past Miami. And so I guess if you're looking at that kind of explosive back that you can get in space to make plays, it makes sense why they went with Harvey. I still don't understand how they run the football in 2025. Like, I don't. Like, who's their back that's going to, like, spearhead that room? Is it Audric Estime?
The way that I look at it is that there's a long time before the season starts. And there are a lot of running backs out there that can eat up carries. And so you're probably going to wait until June 1.
Yeah.
When a bunch of these backs get cut, and then you're going to bring a couple of veterans in who can take 10 to 12 carries a game. And so you have two guys take, you know, 8 to 12 carries, and then RJ Harvey comes in to be the scat back. And I think that's how you do it. Estime comes in, gets a little bit of play. Maybe you just pick up one vet, but those three backs, I think, is what you're going to hang your hat on. And at the end of the day, what we talk about all the time is it doesn't matter how good the backs are in the backfield. If the offensive line isn't very good, it's not going to matter too much. You might be losing a little bit of overall explosiveness without like a real bell cow guy. But this is an inexpensive way to build a running back room. And as long as your blocking is good, you can get 4 yards a pop.
Yep. And their offensive line has been good, but was good last year. In the first, or technically second year, Sean Payton, I guess, but it was good. I think Q Robinson and round four is my favorite pick.
Yeah, me too.
Like they're going to get so much juice from him off the edge and even just DPR situations. But again, I think Q Robinson's best football is ahead of him because he only had to play 100 and some snaps at Alabama because of that. They have such a deep rotation of stallions coming off the edge. And then I can't help but think that this Caleb Lohner, like this is his Jimmy Graham pick. Again, Jimmy Graham, a converted basketball player selected late when he was the head coach of the Saints. Caleb Lohner, converted basketball player, picked late here as well. And so I think this is like his, he's trying to recreate Jimmy Graham here a little bit, but I think the Pat Bryant pick bugs me so much because like what different does Pat Bryant do that Devon Vaile didn't last year where you got Devon Vaile super, super late and you just took this guy's top 75. That's where I really struggle with the Pat Bryant pick a little bit.
That's okay. That's fair. That's fair. A little bit redundant. Yeah. A little bit redundant.
Overall, a weird draft class, but I like the Barron fit. Like you've got Riley Moss, Pat Surtain, and Jahdae Barron in that secondary now. Like that's pretty freaking fun. That's pretty fun. All right, Los Angeles Chargers. I like this class. I don't understand why we graded this class out so low. I think five of the first six picks are awesome. I don't love the Keandre Lambert Smith pick in the fifth round. Outside of that, I think the other five of those first six picks are great, are awesome, and I can see the pathway for all of those guys. So I don't understand why this draft graded so low. I mean, I guess it was probably the running back in the first round, but like this is a great draft in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know what people were. I don't know what the media is smoking here. It must be the running back in the first round. It must be because I can't really think of anything else. But when you look at the
roster,
it
probably has to do with that plus just signing Najee Harris. Like that's probably what it was. Like when you just signed Najee Harris and you draft a running back in the first round. But like,
well, we're giving Najee Harris too much credit.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because Najee is a player that I really, really liked coming out of Alabama, but. At the end of the day, if you're unable to create explosive plays from the backfield and you just like don't have the juice, it's really, really tough to make a huge impact at the NFL level in the backfield at this point of NFL football. And that's just the way that Najee kind of falls at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
I love Trey Harris. He was one of my favorite players in this class. Jamari Caldwell is somebody who, as a one technique, I have talked about ad nauseum. And this could be another part of the lower draft grades. Caldwell isn't somebody who provided a ton of pass rush upside. And so you're taking a run defender in the top 100. And people look at that and they kind of scoff because they scoff at people who are guys who aren't, either well-rounded or bring pass rush juice. I mean, it's the same thing on the edge. Yeah. But with Caldwell, he's just a darned good football player. And then you follow Caldwell up with somebody like Kyle Kennard, who brings you that juice off of the edge and isn't the best run defender in the world. And so you are kind of pushing and pulling at that same time with those two selections back to back. And then I think, dude, the Gadsden pick is so, awesome. So good for Justin Herbert, man. Because what is Aronde Gadsden if he's not just Mike Williams, a little bit bigger?
I think I said on our live reaction video, or no, I said this in the summary with JP when you didn't have powers, like, this team would have drafted Colson Loveland, who's on the board at 22. They basically got bargain bin Colson Loveland in the fifth round. That's this is their starting F tight end tomorrow, today. That's their starting F tight end. And they got him in the fifth round. And again, it would be one thing if Aronde Gadsden was a converted receiver and he put on all that weight and he looked bad and he couldn't move at that weight. He naturally bulked up to 247 and looks just as good at 247 as he did at
280. Well, he was a wide receiver that bulked up, but he's always been bigger. Like he's always been 225, 230.
But he's 247 now and he looks great and he moves great at 247. Trey Harris, specifically with the Chargers wide receiver room, and I don't know why I never thought about Trey Harris, but like doing mock drafts, I always knew that I was mocking a wide receiver to the Chargers, and I could never find the right puzzle piece to like piece around Ladd McConkey that wouldn't overcrowd his flight pattern, his route tree. Quentin Johnston didn't really care like much at all because I don't think he's much of a factor. Mike Williams, same way. Great for him to come back. That's an awesome reunion. He's your ex. Cool for 1 year, but like that's not going to stop me from drafting another X. But like,
I doubt every
wide receiver in that range. Every receiver in that range is like, well, this guy has the same skill set as Ladd McConkey. This guy runs the same route tree as Ladd McConkey. Trey Harris is such an awesome compliment to that room, along with Aronde Gadsden. Like those two guys are so good pairing with Ladd McConkey, and they won't take away from what Ladd McConkey does, but they will draw attention away from Ladd McConkey and give him the opportunity to eat up green grass and roam free. And I love it so much.
Yeah. And you were talking about the KLS pick. I don't mind it because I think what they're trying to do there, between him, Brendan Rice and Jalen Reagor is just, and Darius Davis a little bit to a lesser extent, is just find some juice with your fifth wide receiver, somebody who can be a return guy. I think that's really what you're looking at there, because if KLS is anything, it's a speedster and somebody who has the juice. So I think that's what they're trying to do there, and I don't blame them for that. So,
and I guess we haven't talked about the first round pick at all either. Like if there was a Jim Harbaugh running back, it's freaking
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I have to say.
Yep. All right. Las Vegas Raiders. They graded out as the sixth overall draft composite on consensus from all of these expert grades here, which is fascinating because people hate running backs in the first round and they took one top 10.
They do hate running backs, but you also have to remember that the media is very white and the media loves a white wide receiver with a good backstory. So Besh in the second round was a wet dream for them. They also absolutely adore.
And Millett in the sixth round. That's the same. He's got a wide receiver, a white wide receiver with a cool backstory.
Yes.
I guess Besh's backstory is not cool, but.
Millett's an interesting cat because, I mean, you talk about somebody who has done literally everything. I looked at it. I was like, this is. They're trying to find their Taysom Hill, and he's not quite as big. He's not quite as athletic as Taysom Hill because. I think something that we forget in all of the Taysom Hill discourse is he was like legitimately 225 and ran a 4.4.
Yeah.
The dude was a freak athlete.
This is more like juiced up Edelman a little bit.
Yeah. Like when you look at Besh, I think that the skill set overall both complements and overlaps a little bit with Jacoby Myers, which I don't think is a bad thing because I think you can move both of them inside and out. I do think Besh is probably best used as a bigger slot, right?
Yeah, you said best used.
Oh, not really.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I think he's best used as, you know, a big slot, mostly because I really enjoy the way that he blocks, and that upside as a blocker on the inside. I mean, you just would rather have him going after safeties and end man online and crashing down than you would at Jacoby Myers, who is also a good blocker. But I think, you know, when you look at that wide receiver room, you're still looking for juice. And that's where you kind of bring in Dante Thornton, who is a big, good athlete, but played at Tennessee. And we've talked about that offense. We don't need to talk anymore about it. But overall, I love the way that they set their draft up. Running back, not very high priority position when it comes to the importance of it within the NFL ecosystem for a lot of people. But then wide receiver, corner, two offensive tackles, another wide receiver, and then two interior defenders. I love it because, first of all, it hits all of their needs. I think that they did a good job of switching kind of between upside and good football players when it comes to the interior guys. I think Hemingway can play right away. I think Payas is somebody who you can have a lot of fun with and try to develop into a legitimate like pass rusher on the interior. And then those two offensive linemen, those two offensive tackles, both Caleb Rogers and Charles Grant, two guys who you hope that you can develop behind you, who you have as entrenched starters right now, but will not have as entrenched starters for very long in Las Vegas. So I really, really like the strategic aspect of this class. And I think that that's something that with former Vegas front offices, that was lacking.
Yeah. That double up at 98-99 is as awesome. Kick-ass as it gets, dude. That Caleb Rogers and Charles Grant right there. The best pick, man, is going to put some defensive coordinators in a blender because they're in a personnel blender. Like if you come out in 12 personnel, but Besh is one of those wide receivers, that's like pseudo 13. Do you stick a nickel on the field or do you stick in base? If you stick in base, then you're going to get cooked in the pass game. You stick a nickel in there and Besh is going to bury him. So like on the ground. So like, I love that pseudo 13 because they got Brock Bowers and Mike Mayer.
And Michael Mayer, yeah. Mayer,
but the pick that I hate is the Darian Porter pick. Like I hate that.
Oh, pick. I don't. Why do you hate that
really?
Pick?
Because I don't think he's like a day two player. Like he's a really good athlete and a good special teamer, but like I don't know. Like I we'll see if he plays defensively, but I don't like his corner tape. He's a good gunner. You got a good gunner.
I understand that you don't like his corner tape. Iowa State's defense is a little bit funky. College defenses overall are a little bit funky. I think if there's any scheme that I wanted him to go to, it was a Pete Carroll defense because big athletic corner with great size, the ability to turn and run. He's going to be playing off and outside leverage a bunch in cover three. And listen, I don't love the player that much either. He's somebody who was a converted wide receiver who didn't play a lot of defense at Iowa State. Even when he started this year, you have to search for him on the football field because he's just off of it half of the time. And that's funky to me. That's weird to me. I think your best players, guys who are getting drafted in the top 100, they should play more than 65-70% of the defensive snaps if they're a corner. It's weird to have to search for him out there. But I think when I look at the athlete that he is, the size that he is, with Pete Carroll in the Patrick Graham defense, I don't mind this pick, even though I think he's more of a day three player as well. When you're that big and you run a 4.3, you're going to get drafted high.
I get it. I get it. I don't love it.
And I don't hate that pick because of it. Like it just straight up draft athletes. And this is the other thing that I said when I went on Las Vegas radio, like you need big boys to compete in that division. And so you need to swing for the fences. You can't half ass this. Because you have Patrick Mahomes and Justin and Herbert and Sean Payton with Bo Nix. Those are three good football teams, three good offenses.
Yeah. Overall, though, that's a very Pete Carroll draft and a heck of a first draft for John Spytek there.
Yes. Yeah, Spytek crushed it.
Yeah. All right. The Kansas City Chiefs.
The rich get richer.
Yeah, rich get richer here. I want to start on day three of this draft because they got day one contributors on day three. Like, think about Jerick McKinnon and scoring 9 touchdowns the year they went, like one of the years they won the Super Bowl, that Jerick McKinnon year. And like, that's exactly what Breshad Smith is going to do for them. They don't have a wide receiver is that like their wide receiver room is a bunch of gadget dudes and not a lot of like guys who can actually win through contact or win down the field. And they just drafted a guy in the fourth round who that's what he does. And then Jeffrey Bossa is a pretty good will linebacker. And that linebacker room is really good. So I don't know if he doesn't need to see the field as rookie. But I like this is an awesome day three.
This is the best draft in the NFL this year for my money.
It's becoming a theme for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it is. And it's a theme because they just kind of sit back and let things come to them, and then
outside of the Anadike Uzoma year, I hated that pick, but
yeah,
this is great.
Josh Simmons, let him fall and then trade back a spot and still get him. Omar Norman Lott, who we, I mean, that fit was perfect. I mean, I think I saw him mocked to the Chiefs in round two with that pick more than I saw like any other pick outside of round one to like the obvious teams. It just, it made that much sense. Ashton Gillette, the perfect Spags defensive end. I think I've seen that one mocked, or a player of similar size and skill set to Ashton Gillette, like Landon Jackson. Like that would have been another fit here in Kansas City. Like they pick good players in archetypes that fit what they need all of the time.
Yep.
And they just let the draft come to them. It's dude, what they do is just highway robbery. And then you get into a guy like Noel Williams, who was a late riser in this class, tapes really good there as well. And they've done a really good job of finding defensive backs throughout the draft in free agency that work in that defense. And then, man, Royals Bossa and Smith, is particularly, like you said, Smith is an absolute home run on day three. Absolutely crushed it. This is an A-plus draft for me. It from top to bottom, there is not a pick that I not only don't dislike, but that I don't actually adore. I adore every single one of these selections. I adore every single bit of the value that they got out of every single one of these players.
Yeah. Tremendous. I want to look up something real fast because I have an inkling here about,
we'll cut it like 26 minutes.
Yeah. So I think that the Chiefs are onto something here of drafting old corners. Jalen Watson is 26. That means he was drafted
at 24.
23. Josh Williams drafted at 22, but a 4-year player. Legarius Sneed was a 4-year player. Noel Williams is a 6th-year player. I think they might, obviously Trent McDuffie is different, but like when you're talking high end talent,
yeah.
That's different. I think they're onto something because corner tends to be the most volatile position. So like they're clearly,
if you have like a 4-year sample of them in college, playing good football. Yeah.
And Watson was a 7th-round pick, but Sneed was a 4th-round pick. You have a really good sample size of them playing the like quality football. Like there might be something to that.
Yeah.
I don't want to make too much about it. And then like talk about Josh Simmons a little bit. We talked about like the Jalen Moore signing. They could cut him after a year. Juwan Taylor's going to get cut after a year, but guess what? They're both getting paid starter money and they're going to start this year. Josh Simmons is coming off a patellar tear. Like you don't have to play him right away. Like let him develop in, again, in NFL body. He's coming from San Diego State to Ohio State. And we've seen him put on healthy weight and still look good. Now Ohio State to an NFL program. Like that's probably pretty similar nutrition and weight training wise. Like we're talking about a blue blood versus NFL program. I remember hearing a podcast. I don't know if you remember the linebacker, Matt Wilhelm for Ohio State. He was on that 2002 national championship team, but he talked about going from Ohio State to the Chargers when the Chargers were still in San Diego. And he's like, yeah, the weight room and nutrition is worse than what it was at Ohio State. But Kansas City, I don't think is the same way. Again, I don't have the NFL PA report card up in front of me, but it gives him that ability to continue to train, recover, and you don't have to start him right away. Now, do I think he's talented enough if he is healthy to start right away? Yes, because ultimately I don't think $15 million a year to Jalen Moore is going to keep you from starting Josh Simmons if he's healthy and ready to go. Like
nothing should stop you. Nothing should stop you from starting anybody if they're the better football player.
No, you should feel good about having a $15 million swing tackle then at that point, a reliable swing tackle at that point. Yeah, this draft rules. Chiefs rule. So rich get richer. They'll probably go back out and win the AFC again. But you know what? It is what it is.
Let's grade the rest of these. That for me was an A plus. It's the best draft in the class. Nothing will top it. Where is it an A plus for you, or is it an A for you? Or are you going to
give it an A plus? That day three is out of the park. Yeah. Raiders. I'm going to go A minus for Raiders. I really do like the Raiders draft. The Dante Thornton pick, like, he fits that wide receiver. They need somebody who can take the top off. They don't have anybody. Again, Jacoby Myers runs a 4.58. Jack Besh probably runs a 4.58. They go out and they get a 4.3 burner to add to that room, to add that element. Like, I love that. Like, the Darian Porter pick is really what's holding me out here, but I do love the Hemingway and Pegasus and Mellett. Like, this is a fun, good Pete Carroll draft. I'm going to go A minus. Yeah.
It's an A for me. The Chargers.
I like this draft a lot too, man. I'm going to go with an A minus here too. I'm going to go A minus.
The Chargers, the Chargers, I'm going to give an A minus. They deserve an A. I don't see why media dislike this one a little bit more. And then
the only thing I could see is, like, I think all of the players outside of Omarion Hampton, I think, has star potential as a running back, especially in that offense. But I think starting at pick 55, they found role players. Like, do I think Trey Harris is going to be a top end wide receiver? No, but, like, so that's the where I could see why there might be some holdup is, like, but again, if you find six starters, role players,
are you hoping to get a star player at 55 ever?
No.
Well, you shouldn't.
Yeah. I like it. A minus. And then Broncos. This one's a weird one for me, man. I'll let you grade this one first so I can think about it for a second.
I really love the Jahdae Barron fit. And then after that, I'm just kind of meh on the rest of the class here. It's just a C for me. I like
I was gonna go C minus.
I like the two edge rushers back to back. And the dichotomy between the two, and that's why I kind of keep this at a C. I'd probably go lower without it, but
yeah, I'm gonna say C minus. That's kind of where I was like on the bridge between C minus and D plus, but I'm gonna stick with C minus again because I love the Key Robinson pick, and whenever I can love a day three pick, I can't like completely go to the D territory. So I'm gonna stick with a C minus here for the Broncos.
All right, let's get the people out of here.
Yep. All right, no more talking. See ya. Bye.